This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, we're going to think a bit about that reading together. If you've got a Bible somewhere, either you brought with you or on your phone or somewhere, then please go to Acts chapter 8, verse 26, so that you can follow it. As I said at the beginning, I'm linking the idea of these two readings, the vine and the branches and Philip and the eunuch, with Jesus in John's Gospel. In our first reading, told his disciples to remain in him and he in them, like branches in a tree, dependent on the trunk, and by staying close to Jesus and his words, there would be fruitfulness, there'd be results, there'd be good stuff happening in his disciples' lives. And Acts chapter 8 that we just read is an example of how that happens, of fruitfulness through staying close to Jesus. Last week, one of our readings was Acts chapter 4, and we heard a little bit about Peter and John, who'd been in the temple and had healed someone, and it was amazing, and everyone was excited about it, except for the Jewish leaders, who called him to account. And that was the start of the persecution of the church. And over the next few chapters, that opposition grew. One other thing that happened at the same time as that opposition growing was in chapter 6 of Acts, there was internal dispute in the church. And the dispute was between the believers who were from a Greek background and those who were from a Hebrew background. And they both had a group of wives who were being supported by the church, and one group felt that the other one was getting preferential treatment. And the apostles were asked to sort it out. And they were already very, very busy trying to make the church to grow by bringing new people in, trying to defend the church and themselves against the authorities who were persecuting them, and they really didn't have time for this. So they appointed 7 people to administer stuff in the church. 7 people who were full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, and 2 of them pop up again in the following chapters. And one of them is Philip, who we'll be looking at this morning. The other one was Stephen, who was the first martyr. And after Stephen's martyrdom, then there was a great persecution that actually scattered the church out of Jerusalem. It was so bad in Jerusalem, they had to leave. So when we meet Philip in our story, he's actually a refugee who's had to leave Jerusalem because of the way the church is being persecuted. And if you go back to the picture of the vine and the branches, do you remember Jesus said, those that are fruitful, I'll prune so that they bear more fruit? I imagine that to Philip, that felt very much like the painful step of being pruned, cut off so that more growth could happen. He was cut off from the church he was part of in Jerusalem, from his friends, and went away as a refugee and ended up miles away. But in fact, we'll see that in Samaria that God used him, and he was a fruitful person. I've got a map there, so you can just maybe see where the action happens. There's Jerusalem, where he started. He went up to Samaria to get away from Jerusalem. So he's up here now. Later on, we'll see he comes back. That's the road to Gaza that he goes on later. But he's up here at the moment, gone from Jerusalem up to Samaria. And when he got to Samaria, just before our reading this morning, what he did when he got there was talk about Jesus. And lots of people became Christians. And as he preached, he performed signs and wonders by the Holy Spirit's power. And news got back to Jerusalem. So Peter and John went up to Samaria as well to pray for the people who were new believers, laid hands on them to be filled with the Spirit. So Philip's work was done. He needed something else, and that's where our reading this morning comes in. By staying close to Jesus, the old phrase, abiding in the vine, listening to Jesus, he was guided by God to head down this way on that road towards Gaza. So he went, and that's where he encountered the Ethiopian eunuch that we're reading about in our passage this morning. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus says to his disciples, they'll be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They started in Jerusalem, and they spread out into Judea, persecution scattered them to places like Samaria, which is where Philip was, and then the ends of the earth was just about everywhere else. And this guy he met was from Ethiopia in Africa, and this is the start of that progression that Jesus talked about, going from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth, and of course that's how it ended up with us. We are Christians because that progression carried on. The Ethiopian guy was an African on his way back home to Ethiopia, which is why he was heading south. That way, that's the sign to Ethiopia, just in case you're not sure. It's off the map down here. He was on his way back from a pilgrimage where he went to Jerusalem to worship because he was someone who was a believer. But he wasn't quite clear about everything to do with faith. And so Philip, responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, verse 29 of Acts chapter 8 says, God told him, go and stay near that chariot. So first of all, God sent an angel to say, go onto that road. Now God's Spirit has said to him, right, go and stay near that chariot. Watch, listen, see what happens. And as he was there, he heard this guy reading aloud from the scroll of Isaiah. They didn't have books or Kindles, they had scrolls. He was reading from that as he went along in his chariot. And Philip asks him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? And he says, well, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So Philip's invited up into the chariot to start discussing this passage of the book Isaiah. God put Philip in the right place at the right time and gave him this opportunity to start talking about Jesus. As well as listening to God, Philip listens to the person he's speaking to. He doesn't rush in and say, right, these are the four spiritual laws you need to know all about, and I'm going to tell you this, this, and this. I'm not listening to you. This is what I want to tell you. He started where the guy was, listened to what he was talking about, and started to unpack what the meaning of this passage in Isaiah was. This is one of the passages in the Bible that it's very easy to talk about Jesus from. Because Jesus applied it to himself. In Luke chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus talked about himself, said he was numbered with the transgressors, a direct quote from Isaiah 53, verse 12. The picture of a suffering servant is a clear prophecy looking forward to Jesus. So Isaiah says things like, he was despised and rejected. He took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. He didn't deserve it. We did. We've all gone astray like lost sheep, all gone our own way. The Lord laid on him all our wrongdoing. It was the Lord's will that he should suffer as an offering for sin. But he will see his offspring. Death wasn't the end. And this happens after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Isaiah also says he bore the sins of many and interceded for those who broke God's law. You can see that from that passage of Isaiah that Philip could very, very clearly explain to this guy who Jesus was and why it was important that Jesus came and why the Ethiopian asked him, who was he talking about, himself or someone else? It was clearly someone else. It was clearly Jesus. And the events of the Easter story that led to the start of the church were things that were being passed on and passed on and passed on by the apostles as they met people. And this was Philip's opportunity to pass it on to the Ethiopian. And verse 36 of chapter 8 says he got it. He was ready to follow Jesus. He wanted to be baptized at the first opportunity. And Philip's work was done. So he moved on. We don't know whether it was supernaturally picked up and moved by the Holy Spirit, as happened occasionally in the Old Testament with Elijah, for example, or whether he just moved on and the next time we hear about him was up here in Azotus. So Philip's next journey was up here. That dotted line is because we don't quite know which way he did it. And then he moved up here to Caesarea and he carried on talking about Jesus wherever he went. there's an early Christian bishop called Irenaeus who says that the Ethiopian guy went home and preached when he got home as well. So he not only the fruitfulness from Philip was him leading this guy to have faith in Jesus and be baptized, but the person that he'd spoken to went on and went home and took the message to Ethiopia and carried on talking about Jesus too. So what? Philip stayed close to Jesus despite the persecution. And as I've said before, he probably felt that as painful pruning, but he stayed close to Jesus, he was faithful to Jesus. And when he arrived as a refugee in Samaria, the first thing he did was talk about Jesus. And not just talk, but demonstrate the gospel. He preached to a large crowd there, sort of mass evangelism stuff, and he followed God's leading to one individual, which we call personal evangelism, one-to-one. In both cases, God used him. In both cases, by being close to Jesus, he was fruitful, and there was joy, and there was new faith. Philip was led partly by circumstances. Now, the persecution was something he couldn't control. It ended up with him being somewhere else. But also by obedience to specific guidance from God. He didn't have to go down that road. He didn't have to go by the chariot. But he was being obedient to what God said. Sometimes he was pushed that way by circumstances. Sometimes he was listening to the Holy Spirit. But he ended up in the right place at the right time. He listened before he spoke. He started with a question. He didn't start with a statement. He said, "Do you understand?" And from that opening question, that opened up a discussion. And as he listened to the question, it turned out that the guy was reading Isaiah 53, a passage which was all about Jesus. He could answer the question and go on from where this person was starting to explain the gospel. So he was fully engaged with God and fully and respectfully engaged with the man he was led to as well. So I guess the question that I would finish with is, how well do we listen to God and to other people? Philip went and was obedient to what he heard God saying. And when he got there, he listened to the man he was to meet with. He started where he was and led him towards Jesus. I'm just going to bring a picture up on the screen. Anyone's old enough to remember Peanuts? Christ is the answer. But what's the question? We need to listen to people and find out what the question is. We know Christ is the answer. But we don't want to just launch straight in and tell people Christ is the answer. No, we need to listen to people and help them to get from where they are to knowing that that is true. So with that thought, how well do we listen? I'm going to finish that part of the service. So I'm not going to say anything else. Bren, would you like to come and lead the intercessions? And I'll move out of the way.